We're going to hear and see a powerful testimony of one of our own. So as Matt dims the lights, please turn your eyes to the screen.
I remember my dad walked out on Thanksgiving Day back in 1975, and then I didn't see him for like a year or two, and I didn't know that till later on in life. Like, he just disappeared, he'd gone. And next thing I know, there's some other man in the house, and it really caused me and my sister a lot of hurt, a lot of pain. He always wanted a wife and a dog. He didn't want children, but children were part of the package. That was by his actions and how he is. So I never really had a relationship with him. You know, when you're abandoned by your family, your mom and your dad, and you don't have any kind of value, you don't think that you have any value, you don't love yourself. So you can't truly love another person, is what I see. I always believed in creation. I always believed in God. I did not know Jesus. But I believed at that time, or I thought at that time, that his light didn't shine on me, that I didn't have any value. Like, I just didn't know how to be. I just didn't know. And I felt very uncomfortable for many years being a father and a husband, being in my own skin. I had no peace, I had no joy. I was dead. I didn't know, you know what I mean? I was totally dead. I didn't see anything, I didn't look up, I didn't see nature, nothing. I didn't feel anything. I really didn't, I just felt, well, I shouldn't say I didn't feel anything. I felt a whole lot of just hurt, man, just disappointment. And they were better off if I wasn't around, because, and whether that's my self-centeredness or whatever, but or whatever was working on me, it was telling me all these things that, you know, they're better off without you. Just, but you got to provide for them, you know, blah blah blah. And in a crazy way, I truly did love them. My wife comes from a broken family too, and so I guess you had two broken people that we made it. Here we are 30 years by the grace of God. And I said, I need to leave. I need to go out to Missouri. I need to see my uncle on a whim. And I got chills up down, and I was crying. I was bawling to her. I says, I need to go. And I took off on a Friday night, and I drove out there, and I got into Ohio, and I took a nap, and then I drove the rest of the way, or I took off Saturday morning, whatever it was. All I know is when I ended up there in Joplin, Missouri, I called Frank's daughter, Carrie, and I says, where's Frank? She says, oh, he's at church. Now, I did know that he was going to church, and he started going 25 years prior. Now, church service was already over. I missed it. But just so happens that Frank was a fill-in that week for a Bible study. He wasn't supposed to be doing this Bible study. A guy got sick. And so anyways, the Bible study was going to start like 3 minutes, 5 minutes, right around that time. She walked me down a hall. Boom, I got in. And I see Frank standing in this room with like 25, 30 people. And I went behind him and I tapped him on his shoulder, and he turned around and he just looked at me and he goes, I think I know you. I said, I hope so, I'm your nephew. And he gave me a hug that was not pat me on my back, like he just absorbed everything that I was into him. And I felt so loved at that moment and so much value. He had this peace and this joy and this love that I was so taken back. I'm calling my wife, and I'm just crying on the, I'm like, there's something here. He has something. And I didn't know what it was. I didn't know I didn't know Jesus, and I didn't know where Jesus was. John was doing his sermon on the Holy Spirit and the gifts from the Spirit, and it was like, boom, boom, boom. I couldn't wait to get back to next week. And I said to him, I ran up to front there and I said, this is what happened to me. I didn't know what happened to me at the time. Everything he was talking about is what I experienced. And I'm like, whoa. And I signed up for a small group and it was a Tuesday night. That's my day off. And it just so happens it was at Pastor Gary's house. And I don't even think I knew at the time when I signed. I just knew it was Tuesday and that's why I signed up. I remember clearly of the woman at the well and when she was transformed. And that's what I got from that. And when she went running, when she met Jesus and she went running back to people, she was instantly transformed. The Holy Spirit penetrated her heart. And thank you, Jesus. You've got all the glory. And that's what happened to me. If you would have told me that I was going to tell another man that I loved him and to hug him, I wouldn't have done that. That was not who I was. And that is one of the blessings that my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ gave me is love. He filled me with so much love that it's grace and encouragement that there's things that I want to do today. I want to help people. I want to serve. You will find what you seek. You will find what you seek. And if you keep seeking Jesus on a daily basis, and you take that chocolate milk and you shake it up, that Holy Spirit's going to flow in you. And when it flows in you, you're going to have a joy, peace, and serenity. That's going to lift you so high. God is good all the time. And I'm just passing through. I'm not from this world anymore. I don't belong to this world. I am Joseph Owsley. I am a child of God.
Wow, that was a great story. Joe, you want to stand up real quick? Turn around. Good night. So, what a great story. I gotten to know Joe over the last 6 months or so, so we kind of sought Joe out for this video and he agreed to do it. But I also want to say that we want to have more of these videos here at Trinity. You know, we would love to see more testimonies like this because it brings unity to the church. And I'll talk a little more about the power of testimonies in a second, but if you're interested in sharing your story in this way, my contact info is on the back of the bulletin. Please email me. We'll meet up. I'll bring the camera. We'll shoot some footage. We'll get a video made. And, it's a great way just to share your story, give people hope, and let people be there for you and encourage you in the same way, pray for you. So again, if you're interested, please email me. So moving on, the title of my message this morning is The Power of a Story. It makes sense because we just witnessed a powerful story. So, like I said, me and Joe have gotten to know each other over the last 6 months, and we meet fairly regularly to talk about the Bible and life. And he's told me a lot about his life, way more than I could fit into an 8-minute video. Joe's life could seriously be a TV miniseries, and it's just amazing. But the question I want to answer this morning, the question I want to ask this morning is, why are stories so powerful? Why are stories so important to share? The first reason is they bring about emotional freedom. Have you ever kept a secret, a personal secret about yourself for a long time because you didn't want anybody to hear it? Maybe it was painful. Maybe it was embarrassing. Maybe it was something that caused you a lot of guilt and shame. Maybe you didn't think people would believe you or listen to you. And then have you ever finally told someone that secret and felt a weight come off of your shoulder? That's what I mean by emotional freedom, because when you hold something in, when you push it down over and over over time, it becomes a thorn in your side. It starts to haunt you. It can continually cause emotional trauma in your life because you've never released it. If you want to gain emotional freedom, you need to share your guilt and your shame and your pain and your mistakes and your past with someone. And I suggest sharing it with someone you trust first. And I promise you, a weight will be lifted off your shoulders. The more you share it then after that, the lighter the weight will get, because you are slowly freeing yourself from that emotional trauma. For example, Joe has a lot of hurt from his childhood. You already know his dad wanted nothing to do with him. Well, in addition, his mom struggled with addiction. They gave Joe to his Uncle Frank when he was 15 years old. Joe never made it past the eighth grade, and he lived on his own starting at 17 years old. Now, he did get his GED later in life, which is great. And all this hurt still affects Joe. And I'm sure he would agree, though, that sharing it with others has helped lighten the burden a little bit. I'm not saying that the hurt will completely go away, but it will get easier the more he talks about it, especially now that God is in his life. As God continues to show Joe value and love and peace and joy and understanding, his burden will be lightened even more. You see, in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, verse 7, we read, "The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, the peace of God will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Sharing your story and experiencing the peace of God will lead to emotional freedom. The second reason why stories are so powerful: they create deeper relationships. Your willingness to share your testimony or your story with somebody allows them to get to know you better. And then it may lead to them opening their hearts, and you can get to know them better as well. You become more relatable when you share your story, especially if some of your experiences match someone else's experience. You can create a relationship there. You can create common ground, and this opens doors for more conversation. For example, other people may have parents who neglected them. They can use Joe's story as motivation to overcome the emotional trauma in their own lives, and they may seek Joe out for conversation or for counsel because they've been there, and there forms a deeper relationship between each other. I remember talking with a woman in this church years ago when I first started working here. I remember sharing some of my testimony with her, and then I remember her sharing something very, very personal with me, and she told me that she only told two other people about this. Here I am just meeting this woman, and she's already sharing personal things about herself with me. Why? Because I told personal things about myself, and she felt more comfortable sharing with me. We created a common ground. We both got to know each other better, and now we have a bond that will always be deeper because of that. The third reason why stories are so powerful: they lead others to Christ. Last week, I said that sharing our testimonies is a way to share the gospel. I said that there are many universal truths of Christianity. There are a lot of doctrines of Christianity that we all agree on. But by sharing our testimony, we can add a personal touch to those truths. We can give those truths a face and a name. We can become the actual evidence of our faith. Joe mentioned that when he talked about his uncle. He said, "There's something here. There's something here. He has something." Uncle Frank was the evidence of his own faith. His story helped lead Joe to Christ, and now Joe's hoping his story can help lead others to Christ. Let me tell you a little bit about Uncle Frank. Uncle Frank was a Vietnam vet, and he ran a motorcycle gang. Now, this wasn't some group of guys that just got together on Saturday morning and drove the Shady Maple. This is like a Hell's Angels type of gang. Like, Frank was a man to be feared, a man to be respected. Joe told me a story when Frank shot a bullet with a gun past a man's head in his shop to make a point. Joe was there when that happened. And this is the man that Joe lived with for 2 years. But what's cool is Joe told me that Frank always treated him well and with respect because he was his nephew. He was family. But as Joe mentioned, Frank came to Christ at some point in his life. He changed his life, and he became respected for a new reason, for his faith in Jesus. Joe did make that first visit on a whim. That was definitely a God thing. But he also made several more visits after that. And him and Frank had a lot of deep personal conversations, and Frank had a major impact on Joe, especially when it came to Christ. And now Joe is hoping to have an impact on those around him. The power of a story. Now, I want to take this time to point out a few truths. I mentioned about these universal truths. I want to take time to point out these truths that we can prove through the telling of our stories. I'm going to reference my favorite writer of the Bible, a man who has a powerful testimony of his own, a man who was changed by Christ, a man who was spoken directly to by Christ. His name is Paul. And I'm going to use the passage, Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. I'll put it on the screen. Romans 5, verses 1 to 5. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ, our Lord, has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege, where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Joe described all of the truths found in this passage, in his testimony, and I want to go through them. Number one, Joe has been made right in God's eyes by his faith in Jesus. Number two, Joe now has peace with God because of this faith. Number three, Joe felt undeserving of God's love at one point in his life. He said it in the video, God's light didn't shine on me. And the truth is, we are all undeserving of God's love because of our sin. But he generously and graciously shows us favor and privilege because he's God, because he loves us. And he does that because of our faith in Jesus. And then this newfound faith that we gain gives us a confidence and a joy that we've never experienced before. We think we know joy and confidence, but when we meet Jesus, we learn that we didn't know anything about joy and confidence. He gives us a joy and a confidence, not in ourselves, not in what we do or what we accomplish. It's a confidence and joy in what God accomplishes, in what he does for us in our lives, knowing one day we will get to share in his glory. Number four, Joe has developed endurance from his hard times, both past and present. It sounds weird, but he can rejoice in his past, in his problems, in his trials, because it led him to this new life in Christ. Joe can look back and appreciate his journey, even in the toughest moments. And then that endurance strengthens character. And if you've met Joe or talked to Joe, you know he has character. And strengthened character leads to a new kind of hope, one that will never lead to disappointment. You see, many times, as humans, we hope for things in our lives. We have these hopes and dreams. And when they don't come to fruition, we are disappointed. This is not the same kind of hope. This hope does not lead to disappointment. This is a hope in God. This is a hope that arises from what he has done for us. This is a hope that comes from our salvation, from the fact that he saved us from our sin. This kind of hope is a confidence in the future, not a, I hope this happens one day kind of hope. And finally, Joe's testimony proves that God loves us. How do we know God loves us? Because he has given us his Spirit. The Holy Spirit fills our hearts with his love. Joe described this love in the hug he got from Frank, in his desire to help people, in the woe, in the story of the woman at the well, in his tearful moments of emotion. When Joe talked about the Holy Spirit, he said, "This is what happened to me. I didn't know what happened to me." But now Joe knows what happened to him. He knows that this Holy Spirit filled him with God's love. Joe's story is evidence of the truths that are found in Romans 5, 1 to 5. And that leads me to say this. I said it last week. The Bible is not fictional. The Bible is real. It's living, it's breathing, and it contains truth. It provides us with the knowledge of God. For example, the book of Romans is not just one man's perspective, because we have millions of Christians over thousands of years whose stories prove it to be true. We have evidence. Our testimonies are that evidence. And it's not just Romans. How about 2 Corinthians chapter 5? I encourage you to read that whole chapter. But in verse 17 we read, "Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person." Joe has become a new person. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and the new life has begun. Trust me, I could keep going all day long. I could pull out verse after verse after verse, and Joe's story would support every single one of them. At Trinity Church, we always stand for biblical truth over human opinion. Listen. The Bible was written by humans, but it is not human opinion. It is truth. It is not perspective. It is God's word. We can never forget that. We have to hold on to that as Christians. The fourth reason why stories are so powerful: they help us become soldiers in God's kingdom. A testimony is a form of spiritual warfare that Christians can use against the enemy. To explain, I want to use Revelation chapter 12. Just so you know, the book of Revelation was a vision that God gave to John, one of Jesus' 12 disciples. Revelation 12 specifically addresses a heavenly war that occurred between God's angels and Satan and his angels. I want to read a small section, verses 7 to 12. "There was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon and his angels, and the dragon lost the battle. And he and his angels were forced out of heaven. The great dragon, the ancient serpent called the devil, or Satan, the one deceiving the whole world, was thrown down to the earth with his angels. Then I heard a loud voice shouting across the heavens, 'It has come at last. Salvation and power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For our accuser, the accuser of our brothers and sisters, has been thrown down to earth, the one who accuses them before our God day and night. And they have defeated him by the blood of the Lamb and by their testimonies. And they did not love their lives so much that they were afraid to die. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens. And you who live in the heavens, rejoice. But terror will come on the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you in great anger, knowing that he has little time.'" I want to focus on verse 11. How did God's angels defeat Satan? By the blood of the Lamb and by their testimony, by their stories. And since we read that Satan is on earth causing terror in our lives, we can fight Satan in the same way, by the blood of the Lamb and by our testimonies. Let's start with blood of the Lamb. Who's the Lamb? Jesus. What did he accomplish on the cross through the shedding of his blood? Atonement for our sins. In the Old Testament, the Israelites were God's chosen people, but they were sinners just like us. So in order for them to be made right with God, once a year a sacrifice had to be made to atone for their sins. It was called the Day of Atonement. This sacrifice had to be a male lamb with no blemishes, meaning it had to be the best lamb in the flock. That was the only sacrifice that God would accept for this purpose. Fast forward. Jesus was the best lamb in the flock. He was without blemish, meaning he was sinless. He was without sin when he lived his earthly life. He was the perfect sacrifice to atone for our sins once and for all. And it wasn't just for the Israelites or the Jews. It was for all of us. He gave us all a chance to be a part of God's family. However, there's a choice. We have to choose. We have to accept Jesus into our lives first if we want to be part of God's family. At the end of the video, Joe said, God, this only happens through faith in Jesus. If you want to be accepted into God's family, if you want to be a child of God, you need to accept Jesus into your life. So the way we can help God defeat Satan is by the blood of the Lamb and by our testimonies. Notice the word and. It's not either or. It's both. A person's story is not powerful enough to fight off Satan. It must include Jesus. Because if the story doesn't include Jesus, then we are the main characters. We are claiming that we saved ourselves, that we changed our own lives. Now, I'm sure you've heard stories like that, and they're great. I mean, it's always great to hear a feel-good story. But the credit always goes to the individual, not God. The other day, I watched a documentary about one of my favorite all-time comedians, Chris Rock. And there was a point in his life where he said his career had no direction. And that was after being on Saturday Night Live for 3 years. He felt he wasn't where he should be. So he spent the next 3 years going to small, tiny comedy clubs to work on his craft. Some didn't go so well. And eventually his work paid off. And in 1996, he was asked to do an HBO special. It was called Bring the Pain, and it officially put him on the map. His career took off from that point. But notice the process. It was his effort that got him there. It was his hard work and dedication. God wasn't mentioned once. That's the opposite of a Christ-centered testimony. See, Joe's testimony is, I stopped trying to deal with my hurt. I stopped trying to control my life. I stopped trying to be a good husband and a father. I surrendered all of those things to God. And that's when my life truly began to change. God gets the credit. God gets the glory. That's the difference between a feel-good story and a powerful life-changing story. Joe gave up. He stopped trying. He surrendered. So how can he possibly take credit? He did the opposite. So how can he take credit? Yes, once we receive Jesus, effort is required on our part to keep changing, to live this new life, to change old habits. But the heavy lifting is already done. The blood of the Lamb is already available. That part is already there. The only thing we have to do is we have to put our faith in Jesus. That's how we get the blood of the Lamb. And then we add our testimony, and then we can defeat Satan. See, once we put in our faith in Jesus, he will change our lives and make us a new creation. He will give us a new life, and we will have a story to tell. And then the blood of Jesus will fill that story. And we will defeat the powers of evil in our own lives and in the lives of others. We will fight for God. His kingdom will grow stronger, and in the end, we will be on the winning team. Because God will defeat Satan in the end, and we'll be on the winning team. Why are stories so powerful? because they bring about emotional freedom. They create deeper relationships. They lead people to Christ, and they give us the power to fight against Satan. Now, some of you Christians may not think you have a powerful story. Maybe it's not a story like Joe's. Maybe you grew up being a Christian. Your story has power. Why? Because Jesus is in it. If Jesus is in it, your story has the ability, through the power of the Holy Spirit, to attack disease, to fight against depression, to cure addiction, to heal brokenness and hurt, to overcome sin, and to defeat death. Romans chapter 8, 37 to 39 says, in all these things, disease, depression, addiction, hurt, sin, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are more than conquerors through Jesus. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus. So if you don't have a story yet, if you don't know Jesus, seek him. Seek Jesus, and God will write your story for you. Seek Jesus, then all you have to do is share your story, give credit to God, he will make sure people hear it, because he wants them to experience his love, just like you did, just like we did, just like Joe did. He will give you a peace, joy, and understanding that will take you so high. It will take you so high. Let's pray. God, I just want to thank you so much for Joseph Owsley and his story. I want to thank you so much for changing his life. I want to thank you for helping him lead his family and becoming a better person, and his willingness to become a better husband and father and a better friend and a better worker, an employee, a better Christian. I hope that he forms deeper relationships with people and that he continues to seek you. I pray for the people in this room, God, that don't have a relationship with Jesus. I pray that you open their hearts, that you show them that there is truth in this, that what you can do for their lives is real, that you love them, that you have this peace that is beyond all human understanding, and that you're offering it to us. And the only thing we have to do is accept your son. Accept what he did on the cross for our sins. Accept that your Holy Spirit will be given to us, that it will fill us with your love. I know there's many of people in this room that experience this love. And when they felt it for the first time, I know they felt amazing. We continue to ask you to do that for the people of this earth. We ask you to protect us. We ask you to watch over us as we fight this fight for you, as we join you in battle against Satan, God. We need your help. We can't do it alone. We can't do it on our own, God. So we need you, and we need our church community, the universal church all over this world, to help us fight against Satan. So bring us together, God. Bring us unity. We want to be a part of your kingdom. We want to be soldiers in your kingdom. So please open our hearts, renew our minds, and give us a love and a peace that we've never had before. Thank you so much for everything you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.